Well, last Sunday we were in Mark chapter 10, so we'll be looking today at Mark chapter 11, verses 1 through 7. And the title of my message today is Donkey Fetchers. That's right. Today we will learn about two disciples who were commissioned by the Lord Jesus Christ to be donkey fetchers. And these two unnamed disciples were well ahead of their time. I say that because before the COVID-19 pandemic, the pet-sitting profession was a $5 billion, that's with a B, $5 billion a year industry in the United States alone. It is estimated that over 720,000 homes employ the services of this growing profession. The U.S. Department of Labor says that the pet sitting industry was on pace to grow 15% over the next 5 years. The average income for a pet sitter before this pandemic was $50,000 a year, with 11% of those pet sitters making over $100,000 a year. So these two donkey fetchers who were commissioned by the Lord Jesus Christ to donkey detail were way ahead of their time. Now, not all pet sitters are paid. There are some relatives, some neighbors, and some friends that are called on to serve in this assignment. Many in our church remember a pastor here at First Baptist in the 1960s. His name was Bob Baggett. And what a beautiful family he had. One of his children was Bobby Baggett Jr. Well, Bobby followed in his father's footsteps and became a pastor. He went to New Orleans Baptist Theological Seminary. And when he graduated from there, he took his first church at Peachtree Baptist Church in North Druid Hills. He found out that one of the unwritten requirements of his new position as a staff member at Peachtree Baptist Church was to pet sit a puppy for a certain family on their vacation. Bobby Baggett Jr. says the puppy's name was Puddles, a harbinger of things to come during his pet sitting service. In Bobby's own words, he said that that pet sitting experience was a watershed moment. I'm sure that's how these two disciples felt when they were pressed into the assignment of taking care of a dirty, smelly donkey for the Lord. And I want us to know today that many times we are called into service in positions that we think are beneath ourselves. We think it's too demeaning for the Lord to expect me to do this particular assignment in His kingdom. But I hope that we will learn otherwise from these two donkey fetchers as we read about their story in Mark chapter 11, beginning in verse 1, where we read about number 1 in your notes, their anonymity. It says there in Mark chapter 1 about these two donkey fetchers. Now when they, that's Jesus and his disciples, drew near Jerusalem to Bethage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples. Isn't it interesting that these two disciples who would be commissioned to be donkey fetchers are unnamed in Scripture? We can guess at their identity, but no one knows for sure who these two disciples were. But if you would allow me, I will make an educated guess as to their identity. The last time the disciples as a group are mentioned is in the previous chapter, Mark chapter 10, when two brothers, James and John, approached the Lord Jesus Christ, asking to be made the greatest in his kingdom. Jesus' simple reply to them was, if you want to be greatest in my kingdom, you must be a servant to all. Because whoever wants to be first must be last. And so it seems most appropriate to me that these two arrogant young disciples, James and John, who wanted to be the greatest in the kingdom, would be these two anonymous disciples assigned to this follow-up task of donkey detail. I think at this point there's a very teachable moment. I learned it first from the late Adrian Rogers, who was a pastor of Bellevue Baptist Church in Memphis, Tennessee. As a young minister, I remember him saying, and I wrote it down and I refer to it quite often, and that is, if you ever want to be over, you must learn how to be under. And so many within our churches have not learned how to be under. They've not learned how to be a servant. They've not learned how to be a donkey fetcher. And that's why they will never, ever be over. Adrian Rogers continued in his illustration of you'll never be over till you learn how to be under by saying, if you work at a fast food joint, you're going to have to flip a few hamburgers before you can become the manager. A lesson that these two disciples could have learned very well from. Who they were, we don't know. It could have been Jimmy. It could have been Amy. It could have been James. It could have been Larry. It could have been Sue. Put your own name in there, because God has an assignment for each one of us. Which brings me to my second point, and that is these two donkey fetchers and their assignment. We read about their assignment beginning there in verse 2 of Mark chapter 11. It says, and he, that's Jesus, said to them, go into the village opposite you, and as soon as you have entered it, you will find a colt tied, on which no one has sat. Loose it and bring it to me. And if anyone says to you, why are you doing this? Say, the Lord has need of it. And immediately, remember that's one of Mark's favorite words. He uses it in almost every chapter in every story. And immediately he will send it here. Verse 4. So they, these two donkey fetchers, went their way and found the colt tied by the door outside on the street, and they loosed it. God has an assignment tailor-made for each one of us. Now, he illustrates that through the Apostle Paul when he spoke to the Corinthian believers over in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and told them that we are the body of Christ, and we as individual members make up that living organism called the church. But he goes on to acknowledge that there are some members of that body that might not like their assignment. For instance, he uses the illustration of a foot saying to a hand, because I am a foot, I am not important, so I don't want to be a part of this body. You know, I've looked at Leonardo da Vinci's sketches of hands and their masterpieces. Today, you can go to the Westminster Castle and see in the Royal Library Leonardo da Vinci's sketches, anatomically perfect, of the hand. But you'll find very few sketches that Da Vinci did or Leonardo did of the foot. That's why when I was a double major or a double minor in college as a political science minor and an art minor, what a combination, political science and art, try to put those two together. But my senior project in art was to choose some object and do it in pastels. And so I thought about this passage of scripture, and I thought about the foot and how ugly the foot is, how smelly the foot is, how a lot of people struggle with fungus on their foot, an athlete's foot, and how I'd never really seen a piece of art dedicated to just the foot. And so in my men's dormitory room, I crossed my leg and looked at my bare foot and started sketching my foot and then doing it in pastels. I got an A on my senior project, and I have often thought about how I am a foot in many regards in the body of Christ. And you might be a foot too. And your assignment is just as important as the eyes and as the hands. God has placed you in this body for a strategic purpose. We must perform our duty in joy and in gratitude to the Lord. Just today, in this online worship service, there are many people who are behind the scenes working so that you might be able to enjoy this international broadcast live. We have Ben Wheeler, whom you never see on these broadcasts. He's up in the sound booth. He's our AV coordinator, and he leads a large team of people who make this broadcast available to you, but he's not out front, but a very important unseen member of this body. There are sound and video technicians that you will never see. And by the way, speaking of video, rejoice with me because just this last week we had a generous member who made a very gracious contribution so that your online viewing experience might be enhanced in the coming days. I don't know when, but be looking forward to that. But this AV team, the camera operators, the sound operators, you don't see them, but they do an important function. There is the PowerPoint operator who flashes the lyrics up on the screen and who flashes my sermon points up on the screen. She wouldn't like it if I called her name, but she does a wonderful job, and how grateful we are for Patty Wheeler and the great job that she's doing this morning for us. And then this live stream wouldn't be able to be brought to you if there wasn't someone up in that sound booth running a computer to allow you to watch it on Facebook, on our live stream technology on our church's website. But there are more people who are working behind the scenes. At this very moment, our facilities manager, Stan Gilcash, is making preparations for your safe return to in-person worship gatherings. We don't know when that's going to be, but it will be in accordance with the government's three-phase rollouts, and you'll be hearing more about that from another behind-the-scenes group that met this last Wednesday night, and that is our reopening task force. You need to pray for them, that God would give them wisdom in knowing how to approach the safe return of our members and our attenders to in-person worship gatherings. Stan performs an important duty as our facilities manager, and working alongside him is Fred Wheeler. Together, they have been renovating our welcome center. Oh, it's going to be spacious. It's going to be beautiful. and it's going to be ready for your in-person return to these gatherings that we hope to enjoy someday soon. God only knows that date. And then Fred and Stan have been working behind the scenes on the AO House to renovate it to be a top flight food pantry and clothes closet, which will become even more important post-COVID-19. But you don't see them doing any of this work. It's all behind the scenes and all essential, all very important to what we do as the Church of the Living God. There's a couple at home right now, Jay and Melanie Adcock, who are on their computer. Melanie is our web designer, and Jay does our graphic art, and you never see them out front, but they perform an important function behind the scenes. All these people are our modern-day donkey fetchers, and we thank the Lord for them because they are doing an outstanding job in their particular assignments. Third and finally in this story, I want us to see these donkey fetchers not only in their anonymity and their assignment, but number three, their abandon. Look with me there in verse number 7. It says that after they had fetched this donkey, they brought the colt to Jesus, and look at this, threw their clothes on it, and he sat on it. If you listened to last Sunday's sermon out of Mark chapter 10, you know I used this same word abandon in reference to clothing. We read about blind Bartimaeus, who was begging, and Jesus passed his way and he called out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And many told him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stood still and commanded the blind man to come to him. And then there's a verse there in this previous chapter that we talked about last week that we just fly over many times. It says, "And he, casting aside his garment, rose and came to Jesus." I made the point to you that this was probably Bartimaeus' only possession since he was a beggar. And I would also offer the guess that these disciples also did not have many possessions. As a matter of fact, their only possession was probably those garments that they wore on their backs. But they had been eyewitnesses to what Bartimaeus did in the previous chapter. When he threw aside his possessions, casting aside every weight so that he would have nothing to deter him in coming to Christ. And I think these disciples thought in the same way. If God wants me to be a donkey fetcher, I'll be a donkey fetcher. And I will list my priorities in their proper relationship to God being number one in my life. And so I take this garment on my back, the only thing I own, and I put it on the back of this donkey I just fetched so that Jesus can sit upon it and ride into his triumphal entry. It could be that today God is speaking to some of us about being a donkey fetcher and about abandoning our own possessions in favor of putting Jesus number one in our life. I don't mean going out and selling everything you own and giving it to the poor, but I do mean that we should acknowledge that God owns everything, even the clothes on our back. And he has made us stewards and custodians of those things that he has allowed us to manage. And we should not hold too tightly upon them in order to be able to serve the Lord Jesus Christ in humility. I wonder who amongst us at First Baptist Church is the greatest? Who is the most important? We have odd ways of determining who is the most important in our fellowship. On the same day that Jesus got on this donkey, fetched by these two unknown disciples, and rode down the Mount of Olives to Jerusalem, there was another ruler who was entering from the west on the same day. His name was Pontius Pilate. He had traveled 60 miles from his military headquarters in Caesarea Maritima. I've been there before. It's a beautiful place. That's where Pontius Pilate headquartered with all his military might on times that he was not ruling in Jerusalem. And on the same day that Jesus humbly rode down the Mount of Olives from the east, on the back of the donkey fetched by these two unknown disciples, here comes Pilate from the west, flexing his military muscle, on the back of a horse, on the back of a stallion, arriving in town with all the pomp and the circumstance of an imperial leader. And on the other side of town, on the east side of town, was our humble Lord Jesus Christ, riding not on a stallion, but riding on a donkey, fetched by two unknown disciples. Who was the greatest among those two? As I asked earlier, who is the greatest person at First Baptist Church? Well, if you were making a list, you might be tempted to list those people who are out front in this worship service, the pastor or the minister of music, but you would be wrong. We're not the most important people in this church. You might, in your own way of valuing greatness, say, well, it's the person who has the nicest house. It's the person who has the nicest car. The greatest among us is the person who has the most secure financial picture. You might say the person who is greatest among us is the one who has the best health. You might say the greatest person at First Baptist Church is the one that has the best education. You might say the greatest person at First Baptist Church is the one that has the best kids. And you would be wrong. You would be wrong on every count. I met the greatest person in our church on March the 2nd. Oh, I'd seen him up and down the halls before. I didn't know his name. I'd seen him with his head down, dust mopping the hallways, cleaning my bathroom, disinfecting the lavatories, sweeping, mopping, going about his duty with his head down and no complaint, just fetching donkeys. I met him right before this coronavirus became so bad on March the 2nd. It was a Monday morning. I was over in the warehouse wanting to make sure that everything was ready for a group of teenagers from Rhode Island that I was going to meet on their civil rights tour. They'd wanted me to speak to them about my civil rights experience here in Noonan, Georgia, and I just wanted to make sure everything was right for these teenagers from New England. And I walked in and I saw this guy that I didn't know the name of. He had just finished cleaning the warehouse. Beautiful job. And I just took the time to sit down and talk to him. His name is James. And I found out that James loves the Lord. He is a Christian. Yet he serves in anonymity here, with no applause, no attaboys, no pats on the back. He just goes about his assignments, serving you, the people of First Baptist Church, getting our facility ready and clean, deep cleaned, for your safe return. His lonely figure retreats to his home every evening. And he gets up the next morning and does everything the same way again. Who is the greatest among us? They're not the person sitting behind this pulpit. They're not the person that's out front. In God's economy of things, they're someone that you probably don't even know the name of. The Bible says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and in due season, he will lift you up. Oh, that James and John could have only learned that important life principle. Many of us are learning that today. You're not nearly as important as you thought, are you? There are others that are way ahead of you when it comes to being great on the Lord's scale of things. I can also tell you today that if you've never trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you've never bent your knee before him to call him Lord, it's because you have not come to the place of humbling yourself. And if you would humble yourself today, saying, oh dear God, I am nobody without you. I'm just a poor sinner, and I need your salvation. I need your forgiveness. In that moment of humility, sitting there in your living room, at your kitchen table, on your couch, or in your office, or in one of these countries that is joining us for our live broadcast, if in this moment you would say, Jesus, I humble myself under your mighty hand so that you might lift me up to salvation through my faith in you and you alone. Dear God, help us to be humble. Help us to not resist donkey detail, but to cherish it as an assignment from you. And I ask it all in Jesus' name. And before I close, I have a very important announcement for you. I want you to know that normally at this time, we would have our quarterly church conference. April 26th was when we would have done that at the end of this service. But in accordance with our decorum, I am now announcing to you that we have some important matters of business to come before you. And you will be receiving an email this week, be watching your inbox, and we will be conducting business through emails. And some of the important business that we will be conducting is nominations for lay leaders in our church, for the donkey fetchers in our church. And I pray that you will be in tune to the Lord's will as we vote what we believe will be God's will for those who serve in very important assignments here at First Baptist Newnan. God bless you, and have a wonderful week.